This is KGVM Radio, 95.9 on your dial.
I'm Marion.
And I'm Jim. We are your hosts for this weekly program, Meditation to Self-Realization.
Our intention here is to do interviews, guided meditations, and share teachings of Hindu philosophy. We will be discussing how we can reach our greatest potential through self-realization.
This week we want to focus on a theme that will be taken from a book by Prithviji and Krishnaji, The Four Sacred Secrets.
So Jim, before we get started, I'd like to lead us all in a short breath pause.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
To relax and become centered.
Alright.
So let's take some slow, deep breaths and be very conscious of your inhale and your chest rising, and an exhale with your chest falling. And take a couple breaths this way. Relax your facial muscles. Relax your shoulders. Be sure your lips are closed as you inhale slowly and exhale slowly. And now take another inhale, and on your exhale, slowly open your eyes and join us.
That's nice. Thanks, Marion.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're on the air. Today's guest is Jan Johansson. He's been a longtime member of the Oneness Movement.
I do something when I touched it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, welcome, Jan. It's good to have you on our show today. So I'd like you to tell us, Jan, how did you learn about the Oneness Movement, or where did you learn about the Oneness Movement?
Well, it was about 8.5 years ago, summer 2013, in Finland, where I and my wife, Raya, we went there for vacation, and Raya was actually giving a lecture about health there as a fair. And the fair was for health, UFOs, spiritual things, pretty much everything. And Oneness was much represented there. There were even a question and answer period with Sri Bhagavan, the founder of Oneness, and there was a meditation, and there was also an evening workshop with Oneness. And I remember that my wife told me to, when she was giving the lecture, she said to me that, go ahead and go and find out what's that all about. And I went, and that's how the whole thing began. And I got interested and went on the internet, and then I called up and registered for the first class, Awakening to Oneness class with Oneness there in Finland. That's how the whole things began.
Mm. And so when you were in Finland, you knew about it. Did you know that there was branches of it in the United States as well?
We had never heard about Oneness. It was completely new.
At that time, was there branches here in the United States?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They're all over the world.
Okay.
They're all over the world. In all Scandinavian countries, in America, Canada, South America, everywhere they were. We just didn't know about it.
Yeah. And do you know how long they have been in existence? I'm curious because I never really thought about it.
I think I am not sure about international oneness, but I know that the movement pretty much began, I think, in 1989.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I think the movement began, in India.
Uh-huh.
So what attracted you to the oneness? Was it the concept of oneness, one with humankind, or one with the universe, or what was the whole idea behind it, and what attracted you to that?
Well, at first, we didn't really know anything about it. We were just really surprised that when we did a meditation there at first, people began to laugh. And for us, meditation was something serious, but not for these people. Oneness, it's a concept that we are all one, all humankind is one. You know, instead of being separated by nations, races, even by opinions and stuff like that.
And gender.
Gender, yeah, everything. And but it's basically an organization that tries to raise the consciousness of humankind to get to the level of oneness, which is the enlightened state, pretty much. When you are enlightened, you feel one with everything, not only humankind, but also with the animals and nature and everything. So that's the purpose of the whole thing, to raise the consciousness and on the planet, and human suffering.
So, in order to raise the consciousness of humankind, did you have to actually raise your own consciousness? And was that the process that oneness presented to you, or were you already an enlightened being?
Well, I had never heard, really understood enlightenment. I did not really actually, it was not a known concept for me. It was completely new for me that that enlightenment is something that we actually can reach when we still are, you know, in embodiment. And I have always been a spiritual seeker in my life, but I didn't really know what I was seeking until I realized that this is a higher consciousness that actually can end suffering for me. And when it ends for me, it also affects all people around me and helps other people to reach the same level of consciousness which ends suffering.
So how would it differ from Western psychology and therapy? And there's been a lot of stuff in the if you start going back into the 70s and 80s with John C. Lilly and the flotation tanks and, you know, there's been a lot of Western psychologists that have tried to, that, and to this day, people take therapy and whatnot to raise their consciousness or just their psychology? Is there a combination?
Well,
you have to do to achieve enlightenment?
Well, I think that it's pretty much, I'm not talking about psychology, the Western kind of psychology, but I can say that the process is that oneness offers is meant to also heal our psychology. It's an important part of the process is to to actually liberate us from all the programmings, conditioning that we are victim of in our childhood and also later on, so that we can actually work on our spirituality and not be victims of all the conditioning and programmings and I would call it false teachings.
that we've all been introduced to over our lifetime.
Yeah, and psychology and also Western things, they are not really helpful. I'm myself been going through psychotherapy, so I know some of it. And I've been working in hospitals, and I know that they don't really offer very much help.
They don't address the real
the
core issue of
what
the suffering is about.
Yes, it has to be on all levels, psychology, spirituality, and mental, physical. It's all. Mm-hmm. It's all. It's not only the mental part the Western psychology is dealing with the mental mostly.
And I think they tap into the emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah.
That's a part of it. But I think that oneness is the first organization that I have encountered that really are able to take us through processes that really addresses and brings up our psychological problems so that they can be healed and we can move on beyond that level of, I mean, as long as we have psychological problems, it's very hard to advance on the spiritual path.
Right, because number one, there's so many labels out there, labels of what mental process you may be in. There's the there's the depression, and then there's ADD, you know, all the different shortened versions of ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And so once someone wears a title like that, they think they have it forever.
And the next thing they know, they're popping a pill to take care of it.
Yeah. So that's just really, that's really to address all these things. It's very important to. And I also would add that in addition to addressing this childhood traumas and those things that will come up during the processes, during the meditations, it's also a question about how to then heal those things, how to get the wisdom and how to move on. And And also those processes gives us experiences, spiritual experiences that for me has been very crucial. Not only mental teachings that sounds very great, you know, about ascension and enlightenment and all kinds of things that sounds really great, but this is not about the mental and emotion, only the mental and emotional growth. It's about true processes. I have experiences that shows us that there is something else than the mental and the physical to us. I mean, we are not physical bodies and mental bodies or emotional bodies. We are much more than that.
Yeah, because when you even look at all different religions and spiritual beliefs and stuff, everybody, it all goes back to a different source outside of ourselves. God or Allah or whatever.
Yeah, that's the usual way to teach spirituality, that talks about something outside yourself that's gonna give you, or you're gonna get something from somebody or something. This is question about you find it in yourself,
and that's part of doing the processes.
Yes, the processes will bring out, and it's, for me, it was really the thing that that was decisive for me, because even before I had anything to do with the processes or the teachings or oneness, I had experiences. Because we went to that fair, and then there were a few weeks, and then I called up and signed us up for a class. They called it Awakening to Oneness. And one day or 2 days after, I called up the lady and said that we would be coming. Then I was sitting in the dental chair, got my teeth fixed, and I went into something that I had never experienced before. Everything was just of a sudden completely quiet, and there were no thoughts. I perceived. I heard voices. I felt a peace beyond all understanding, but there was no me there. There was only this peace. I heard the voices, but the hearing was there. The peace was there. The joy was there. But there were no person. And this was the first time in my life that I realized that there is something to this, mm-hmm. more than a physical body, a mental body, something mental, emotional. There is something that I had no clue what it was, and I knew immediately that I had been looking for this all my life, and that I just found my purpose. So what is this? What is this state? Who am I, really, if I'm not this person that I thought I'd been? All my life I thought I was a person that was born, that will die, and in between will do something. But I realized that I was something completely beyond that.
This was while you were in the dental chair.
Yeah.
was before or after they gave you laughing gas?
Absolute no laughing gas. No. That's why this experience was so special, was that with all this stuff in my mouth and the dentist and the assisting talking to each other and working on something very tricky in my mouth.
With just pain?
No pain.
No pain.
Because you were already in a different state.
There was no worries, no concerns, and no pains. Hmm. I don't know how it happened and why or anything. Hmm. I have no explanation. It just was first kind of that experience that I ever had in my life. Hmm. It was completely new, but the thing was, I was not surprised. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, I wondered why I was not surprised. I was not surprised. It was something that, I don't know, can't explain it.
A knowing, maybe, just...
Yeah. It was knowing on a world that was completely new for me. Mm-hmm. And that was how it began. But didn't end there, of course.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that was decisive for me to, I definitely want to go to this class. Because even before I had any contact with, physical contact with this organization, I already have an experience.
Yeah.
And of course, the lady said that, she said afterwards that, oh, it does have nothing to do with oneness. But, how can you say that? She said that you were ready, she said. All right, okay, that's great. But it came immediately after this, this fear and after this call. Mm-hmm. And it was another thing that happened there too that was significant for me that I just came to my mind now, is that when I called her up, I said in the end, because I was in states in my life that I was kind of disillusioned. I had been kind of seeking actively, spiritually, a long, long time, but then I had just before this, I've ended. I had stopped to seek. I was disillusioned. I was disappointed. This spiritual stuff is not going to work for me. I'm not getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I asked this lady that, hey, hopefully it's going to give some results because I'm kind of disappointed with spirituality in general. So she said, I'm always going to remember this word, she said. I can almost guarantee it, she said, that you're going to get results. And I always wondered, how could she know? But results I got, yes. Mm-hmm. Even before I went to the class. But wait, when I went to the class, then things began to happen. That was...
Now you're going to tell us how it impacts your life.
Yeah. I mean, that first thing in the dental chair, of course, changed my life. I knew that there's something, and I was going to go for it. But Raya and I went to the class, and it was a weekend class. There was, I think it was Friday night, Saturday, a whole Saturday, and then it was Sunday. And on Sunday... We had chanting after the whole thing. There were teachings, there were all kinds of things. It was great. But it was when we did a 49-minute chant. The chant went, I am... Let's see now, how did it go? I am existence, consciousness, bliss. I am existence, consciousness, bliss. In Finnish, we did that.
Okay.
For 49 minutes. And in the middle of that, of course, the lady that gave the class, she was leading the chant. But in the middle of that chant, 49 minutes, a power in me rose up and took over the leading of the whole thing. And at the same time, I felt that I filled up the whole room, like my aura was huge. And I heard the other voices like far away, voices for the other people in the class. And the same peace was there.
That you had in the dental chair.
Yeah, the same peace, the happiness, the joy was there again. And so that was one of the strongest, also the strongest experience I ever had. And this power that rose up in me and took over the whole chant, and I was leading the chant to the end, that was beyond human. It was beyond human, that power that came through. And
do you think that it was the Kundalini fire that was released?
I don't know, really. I don't know really what happened there. But then we...
Did Ryan notice it? Or
I don't think that anybody noticed it.
It actually... It was your experience.
That was my experience, yes. No. Oh, that I took over the chant. Oh, yeah, they must have heard, you know, because it was not...
Vibrant.
It was like thunder, you know, in the whole room. So they must have realized it. Mm-hmm. And... So the class ended, peaceful and nice, and we had a long trip home from that. It happened in something that we call in the middle of nowhere. This class was a small town, and we had to go from that town to where we're staying in Finland. We have to go through the whole country. Ooh. So we entered a bus after the class Sunday night, and this the experience is so strong that I can hardly speak. I was sitting at a bus, and then I realized that everything was perfect. Even the seat in the bus was nice. Usually never nice.
He was late.
I was transformed. I was sitting there and just loving everything. And I saw people around and I just felt love for everything. And I saw drunk people and I just laughed. No judgment, condemnation, or criticism. I was just laughing, looking at whatever happened there, and it was just... So that was...
Bliss!
That was bliss, and it actually lasted 3 days, three whole days. And during those days, many, many things happened. For example, I could go walk in the town where we stayed. I could walk around, and I felt that people were so loving. Other people, all people, they were loving and respecting me. I'd never felt anything like that before. Mm-hmm. It was not that I was any special, no. But all people, they were loving. Mm-hmm. They were so respectful and nice to me. Everybody. I had never experienced anything like that. And I also had some revelations there. At one time, I was given some teaching. It was just telepathically, I was given some teachings during those days that said that don't worry, you will always have what you need because everything is inside you.
That's big.
That's amazing, yeah.
It's a very beautiful.
Very big.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And then the way you felt the energy from all these other people, loving energy, isn't it amazing how we can change our perception and all of a sudden everything is different?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the world completely differently. Mm-hmm. And one other thing that I also was told, that there's nowhere to go and nothing to do. You don't need to do anything. And yes, one thing more was very important that I was given, was that you have overdone it very much. Now just relax. Let us take care of this.
Wow, that's huge.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's beautiful to think.
Yeah, there's nothing really that I needed to do. I just felt that I'm going to be given teachings and insights and experiences along the way, and I don't really need to do anything but be attentive, receptive, listen. That was the really important thing. There was nothing that said that, hey, you have to do this and this mantra, many mantras a day or anything. No. You don't need to do anything. Just be receptive all the time, and we will guide you. So,
yeah, that's really interesting, because I think that's a very difficult concept for a lot of. It seems sounds so simple, but it's very difficult for a lot of people to grasp. And I know just today, recently, somebody. It's like all of a sudden I'm feeling all their anxiety. They're pushing me to do something, and I'm in my mind, and I'm like, slow down. It'll come. We don't need to do anything. It'll come to us, you know. This is in a business transaction that's happening, and it's like you said, I don't need to do anything.
Well, this was individual teachings, and we have to remember that this is something was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
This is not for everybody. To another person, you know, the guides would probably say something else.
Mm.
But this was the first time I felt I was given individual, personal teachings that I needed to get.
Okay.
Because I'm being in other spiritual organizations where there were a lot to do, you know, there was a lot of things to do all the time. And if you don't do all this, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. And it just was given to me, mm-hmm. because I obviously had been overdone it. Mm-hmm. Trying to do so much. So now I was given the teachings that, hey, it's basically all, you already got everything. Just, you know, follow now our guidance. Be receptive, and we're going to give you pretty much as much you can take all the time. Mm-hmm. So don't worry. You get everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to lose anything. You're going to miss anything. Just relax. Take it in when it comes, and don't worry. Don't
rest in peace.
I mean,
I feel like I'm being guided. You're my new guide.
Yeah,
this is great.
And the thing is that so much time and energy is spent on being worried and concerned that we are not getting the doing the right things or doing all what we need to do or accomplish this and that. That has been for me such a block, mm-hmm. blockage on my path. And now I was given this, that take it easy. But this only lasted for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And when I felt that this peace, this no worry, no no, nothing, just ended. Then I asked, what's he going to do now? And, you know, I got an answer. And that was, you just say this prayer and mantra. And the mantra was, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me.
Hmm.
That was us given. Mm-hmm. I knew that mantra. I knew that mm-hmm. prayer. It's called the Jesus Prayer.
Yeah,
it's something that saints in the Eastern Orthodox Church are using a lot in the past. Anyway, when I said that prayer, I began to feel my chakras. I knew what chakras was, but I never felt them.
Mm-hmm.
I felt them from the top of my head to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Not lower than that, but
mm-hmm.
I felt all those chakras, and that was a huge change on my perception of the world. Because we are perceiving the world through our chakras.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know that, now you know.
Yeah.
And when you perceive the world around you with your chakras, it's completely different than you only perceive the world through your mind or your feelings. It's a completely game changer.
So there's a direct distinction between feeling or understanding or feeling the world or experiencing the external world through your mind compared to how it is with the chakras.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of work that you see people are doing these days have to do with bringing up feelings, emotions, connecting it to the body, maybe somatic, and so there's something missing there. And that's the sense I would get when I would get into some of these workshops and groups. And I think that you just covered that. Especially I like the way you said you went from the, I guess it's the crown chakra to the heart chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got the four higher chakras there that you were dealing with.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about the mind is that if you perceive the world or it's never new, it's never fresh. It's the mind kind of explains things to us.
Mm-hmm.
You do not experience things directly. You are experiencing things through the mind. And the mind always is in the past. So your past experience are affecting everything you experience now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of it takes away the freshness from your experience completely, because you kind of, it's like wording everything. You word it. You say, when you see something beautiful, it's like saying, oh, that's beautiful. You give a label. Mm-hmm. You put a label on everything instead of just experience or whatever, without labeling, without explaining what it is that you are experiencing. You're not experiencing it without labeling, without saying what it is. You mean?
I think you're describing the essence of the present moment experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably the first time that I began to experience the present moment that And when this happened, and my chakras opened up, I began to feel also a hat on my head. I had no hat on my head, but it felt like I had one. And when that progressed, I began to feel that I had a helmet on my head, round. It was like an energy field around my head. And was going with me everywhere.
Hmm.
I was feeling that all the time.
Like a halo.
Yeah, in Christianity, I think it's called a halo.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
See halos.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anyway, I begin to feel this.
Well, can I ask you something?
Sure.
With that description you just gave. So, do you think that was some kind of a connection to your higher self, or what?
I don't know. I don't know really. I don't want to. It's hard to say what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no word for it.
Okay.
And I can also tell people that what I experienced is not necessarily the same that when another person experienced spiritual things, mystical, transcendental things, we explain it different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, so mm-hmm. so it's not really what I experienced, somebody else would experience in a different way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, that this is not the only way to experience things.
Right.
It's just, for me, it was such a game changer. Even if my life in the outer did not change, but it was completely changed in the inner,
mm-hmm.
how I experienced life. Instead of experience life, I would say that I began to be life. Well, I think that was life.
Yeah, that just goes back to what you were talking about with if you stop and label things as beautiful, then you miss out on the essence of where you're at, the whole present moment, so to speak. So, yeah.
And
so
after that, for 1.5 years, I had so-called, my wife used to call them bliss attacks.
That's great.
I used to go into, at any point of time, I could go into a bliss. And we have a picture of one of those events too. And once we were riding on bikes, both of us, and my wife was in front of me, and I was after her, and on my bike, and she turned and saw that I was in bliss, and she was afraid that I'm gonna crash. But it was never any danger. Right. Even if we're driving a car, even if riding a bike or anything, I was always conscious. I didn't lose the connection to the physical world. It was just a very strong feeling of bliss and happiness. And it could happen anywhere, anytime. It did not matter what other state I was in. It just took over. And the bliss was there. I could have pain. I could have been sick. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the bliss was so strong that it took over.
It's pretty exciting to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had numerous, a lot of wild experiences, almost daily.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going on for 8.5 years, and one time I had a. Also 3 days experiences that's not so long ago. It was 3/11. I think it was 2018. I had 3 days of perfection. I woke up this morning and everything was perfect. And it lasted 3 days. It didn't matter whatever happened those days, everything was perfect. It was like in the beginning there, you know, complete peace, complete joy. Had nothing to do what situation I was in. The situation that I was in those 3 days had no effect on me. Everything was perfect. It was experienced as perfect. whatever happened was perfect. Whether it was nice, ugly, or beautiful.
The perfect ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it came from inside.
Yeah.
And it lasted also 3 days. And it the last day I had an experience that was quite scary. I was driving in town, and I was turning in a crossing. I was turning left, and I only looked to the right. I didn't look to the left at all. So from the left came a car that almost hit me, mm-hmm. in my car. I had an old car, but it didn't matter really to me. But the thing was that the car missed me with, you know, few inches, I guess, mm-hmm. screeching wheels and stuff like that. And somebody gave me the finger or something. But they missed me, and the most surprising thing was that I was not beating up myself for doing that. I was not criticizing, judging, condemning myself for driving that recklessly. And I asked, did I only do that to show to myself that nothing really matters, that everything is perfect? And I got an answer again. I have talked to whoever that is, or whatever that is. I've talked a lot and got a lot of answers too. And it said, yes, you showed yourself that there's nothing to be worried about.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And
everything is perfect.
It's perfect. I would like to share the experience a few days ago, if you don't mind, Marian, our little blowout that we had. It wasn't so little, actually. And at a certain point, Marian was in a rage. I was whatever I was doing. And all of a sudden I started chuckling, and I looked at her and I says, well, this is a present moment. We are in a present moment, whatever it is. And at that moment, the gift I got was feeling her pain. And then I was able to just go right to her and embrace her. And it was just, I can't continue on because I'll lose it. But it was just beautiful. Because I realized, even though, like you mentioned, ugly, was an ugly scene, but it was beautiful. Because for whatever reason, I realized, and I didn't think about it or nothing, all of a sudden I realized, I started chuckling actually, said, this is the present moment. Do you want the present moment to be like this? As soon as I said that, I felt her pain. And we just connected, and it was just...
Dissolved everything.
Resolved everything, just like that. You know, all of a sudden we both realized, wow.
Yeah, when you begin to realize that we are not the actions, we are not the experiences, we are not even the one that experiences those experiences. When you realize, in those days, I was completely just knowing my experience. I knew my experience. I was aware of my experience. Mm-hmm. But I was not the one that experienced it. I was doing nothing. It just happened, and I was watching it. And my consciousness was obviously high enough to realize that there's nothing to be worried about, because nothing happens to me. even if the body would have been crashed or the car or anything, nothing really would have happened to me. Nothing can happen to
the essence of who you are.
The essence that you are, and when you really experience that, then there's nothing that can worry you, because nothing happens to you, ever, has never happened, and will never happen. You are eternal, infinite, there's no limits of you. So, there's absolute nothing to be worried about.
Hmm.
But it remains for me also to be in that state 100% of my time.
Yeah. It'd be nice if we could just press a button. And be
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Pull up the shade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. But when you said about feeling somebody's pain, it's a very strong experience to experience another person completely. Not only another person, but if you, whatever you experience, if you can completely be there with your experience, and the mind is not coming in or explaining anything to you, it's bliss.
And it does affect the other person, because we can't even remember what I was in such a tirade about. I couldn't even place it.
If you experience as another person completely, and that can happen, for example, and listen to the other ones, whatever, and have no agenda. You only listen, completely accepting, completely being there with another person. That is called love. And it has such an effect on the other person that you are giving full attention to, without no thought, no agenda, not even waiting for oh, let me, I'm going to say that and that, I'm going to answer that and that. No, you just completely are there with the other person. It has such a tremendous effect on the other person. Many times the other person will go to sleep. It's such a nice experience for the other person. If you can be there totally, totally with the other person, or totally with an animal, totally with something, it gives you bliss, and also the other person, they're going to feel loved.
I have to add to that that it was almost like a melting that went on. That I wasn't even aware of my body anymore, and I just melted. I mean, I was full of tears, but I didn't have any concept of having done anything wrong, having, you know, once he had me in his arms, it was over. Over, and it almost was like this physical form melted, and so did any of those emotions, and it was quite miraculous.
Yeah.
To be
no self condemnation.
Yeah, no condemnation.
No accusations, no beating yourself up for done something wrong. There's nothing wrong really, and that's why it's so healing to be able to experience those things, to be totally there for another person, because it heals the other person, whatever they want to say, whatever, and they will feel that they can really open up, like they would talk to God. and tell their worries and you feel the embrace of the divine that would say to you that you have never done anything wrong.
Oh, I love that. The you embrace have, of the divine.
You and anyway it wouldn't matter because I am with you always. Mm. And that's I guess that these experiences are called awakening experiences, enlightened experience, transcendental experience.
And let's not forget love, because that really is the essence of love. Not the way that our society or any one of us think about it, but the way that we experience it, the way that we feel it.
Yeah, I think somebody has said that that to really completely accept somebody is love. But to that I would add to that that to accept somebody and be totally with somebody and realize that we are actually one, and that's the highest state we can reach here on when we are talking about enlightenment and awakening. The highest state of enlightenment is when you experience everything as one with you, every other person, every animal, the nature, everything. You are one with it. And when you experience this, then there's nothing really, because if you are one with it, you would criticize, judge, and condemn yourself. Mm-hmm. And why would you do that?
That's a beautiful way to end this program. We're at the end of the time slot here. And what a beautiful interview. I'm so glad and grateful that you came. And
thank you. It's an honor for me.
It's just beautiful.
To be here.
Thank you so much, Jan.
You're welcome.
And thank you, all our listeners.
Yeah. And join us next week, next Thursday night, between 9 and 10. And hopefully we'll be in a beautiful state.